Good morning. How is everybody? We're so happy to see you. Hey, if you're able to, let's go ahead and stand your feet as we get ready to worship this morning and just lift up the name of our perfect Savior, Jesus. He is so good, and I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving and just excited today to be able to come to his house. I don't know. I'm going to be real just honest with y'all. I don't know about y'all. It's been a little bit of a crazy week, a little crazy weekend, so when we get to this part, sometimes it just feels like, oh, thank you, Lord, that we get to the part where we can just worship. And I know that we can worship anywhere, and we should worship on our own, but I love to be with my family. I just don't think that there's anything more beautiful than the body of Christ, and we can come and link arms and just lift up the name of Jesus. And that's what I want us to do this morning. So, Father God, Lord, I just look to you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for all that you have done. You are so good. And God, we honor you today. We just give you all glory, all honor, all of our praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that comes from you, from the joy that comes from getting to walk with you on a consistent basis. You are so good, Jesus. This day is yours, and we love you and we honor you. Thank you.
Alright.
Grateful that it's not about happiness, that it's about no matter what season I may be walking through, I can still have the joy of the Lord because He allows me to just have Him, because He walks with us daily and consistently. I love that so much. I read earlier that having the joy of the Lord is having a consistent daily just getting to walk with Him. And that's just amazing. He is so good. Father God, we just worship You. You are so good. You are so holy. Lord, I just want You to be magnified in this place. I want You to be glorified in Your house. This is Christ Chapel. It is Your house, God. And we are here to lift up Your name, to tell You how worthy You are, to tell You how holy You are, to tell You how much that we love You. And we give You all of our all honor and all praise. Thank You, Jesus.
Generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and all who gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, Your name is the greatest, Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all created cries, holy, You are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And if You've been forgiven,
sing this.
And if You've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb.
signifies that when you're in battle, he'll make sure that the heat of the day is not so much that you grow weak. But more importantly to me is in the end of everything, in the end of every day, in the end of every chapter, the Lord loses nothing as it pertains to you. I understand if you keep significant things, but when you keep all things, the Lord is the one that preserves your soul. He preserves your going out and your coming in from this day forward and forevermore. That thing you're worried about, the Lord's the keeper of it. That person that you're worried about, the Lord is the keeper of them. The disappointments, the disillusionments, the loss, the traumas, the successes, the joys, the pleasures, he's the keeper of all of them. And he is orchestrating, weaving together a mosaic of your life that will bring him glory. The Lord's your keeper, and the shade upon your right hand. If the Lord's responsible for the keeping, then what are you worried about? Would you just bow your heads with me this morning? Do you really believe that? That he's going to preserve your soul? Do you believe that he's going to provide and protect and preserve? He's going to defend? And if he tarries and you come to the moment of leaving this world and going into the next one, he'll be right there to greet you. What a faithful Lord. What a gracious Lord. For that person that sang this morning, but what of the missing pieces? What? There are no missing pieces. The Lord is the keeper of all things pertaining to you. Nothing eternal has been lost. Nothing eternal has been lost. Nothing eternal has been lost. So lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help has always come from the Lord. And your help will always come from the Lord. Church family, would you look this way one moment before we close this part of the service? I was at Publix parking lot maybe a year or so ago. You know, the older you get, it blends together. It could be last year, 2 weeks ago, or 10 years ago. I'm not certain. But I remember a lady doing what some of us do, coming into the house, and she tried to take everything with her at one trip, you know, didn't need the buggy, and one of those cheap bags tore, and she sprinkled stuff all over the park, and everywhere she turned, she slung stuff, you know, and I was in my car, and as quick as I could get out, and you know, she started to, like, you know, get frantic, and I remember telling her, I just said, it's all here, it's all here, I got you, it's all here. Sometimes I think the Lord just wants to tell us, hey, I understand that you had an issue here or an event, but it's all here. It's all here. I got you. I'm gonna keep. The bag may be no good, but I got you. Isn't that encouraging this morning? Would you give the Lord a hand this morning? We bless your great name, oh God. How many of you he's kept? Look around with these hands up. No, he didn't keep you through fiery storms, did he? He didn't keep you through trials and tests, did he?
Yes.
And through, y'all feel this?
Yes.
He didn't keep you, did he?
Yes.
Glory to y'all, I get stirred up, start preaching. Instead, I want you to take that same joy and greet one another in the Lord this morning. Would you do that?
Child of God, on my worst day, I'm a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day, and you're the reason why I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Got this heartbeat in my chest. No, it doesn't matter about the rest. If I got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed.
Guys, I kind of forgot about transition, so somebody had to remind me. I was like, oops, yeah, I do have something to do. Hey, guys, good morning. My name is Kelly Wood. I would love for you guys to think that I have it together most of the time, but anybody who really knows me knows that that is not true. So anyway, I do love you very much. I'm so glad that we can be here together this December 1st, Sunday, right after celebrating Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families. If you're a first-time visitor here with us today, we are especially glad that you're here with us. And if we happen to miss you as you walked in the door, please do me a huge favor. If you would stop by that greeting table on your way out, we're not going to track you down or bother you, but we would just love to know that you're here. We'd like to put a small gift in your hands, and we'd really love the opportunity to just get to know you and see how we can serve your family with our church family. So we would so love for you guys to be part of our fellowship. We have so many things coming up with our family life ministries, women's ministries, all sorts of things like that coming up for this holiday season. So I won't tell you about it, but I will let our announcement video do that. So guys, if you'll go ahead and play the announcement video.
Good morning, Christ Chapel family. It is Dmitry Petrovich for the announce. Hey, how's it going, guys? I had to bring him out of retirement this morning. Just a few quick announcements. Coming up this Friday is our Fun Factory. It's fun for the whole family. So if you're volunteering and signed up for that, please be here by 6:30, and it'll be fun for the whole family from 7 to 9. If you want more information, please see Pastor Steve or Pastor Amy. It'll be held next door in the Student Center. Also, please send in those scent stories. Be sure to share with us how you've had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone in the marketplace. That's it for this week. So if you have any questions about anything you heard this morning, check us out online, on Facebook, or Instagram at Christ Chapel Macon. Have a great day.
forget that Fun Factory is just this awesome opportunity that we have. If you have friends at school, like children's friends at school, please invite them. It is just open for everybody. We have prepared for a ton of people, and it is just so much fun, and you won't want to miss it. So please come and bring friends with you, okay? We do have Sunday night service tonight, correct? So last one for the season. So we are finishing the last two of the 31 Kings, finally. Okay, we've made it, guys. It's like finish line. We're there. Okay. So, and we do have prayer right before at 5 p.m., correct? Okay. So please join us up in the grill for prayer at 5 p.m., and then we'll have our 6 p.m. service. So, ushers, if you would please come and serve our church body as we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings, and then Pastor John will come and pray.
Was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved the into glorious light. Yes, you did. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, no end, for I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of life. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved
Somebody say amen. Come on, guys, let's offer these. Church family, let me just remind you that when we give to the Lord, that there is not only the attention of that in heaven, because Jesus saw what people gave, but he saw how they gave. And there's a dynamic there that's not just business. It's not just, okay, I do 10% of my income. I said, Lord, I just want you to know that my giving is tied to my gratitude for you. And for those of you that faithfully support this house, I want you to know that you're connected to every person that's redeemed, every person that's healed, restored, discipled. And there's reward for that in heaven. So thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, it's with great joy this morning, and I always like to say that, ain't nobody got a gun to our head. Nobody manipulating us, promising us tenfold returns. No, we give because we love you, and we honor you with the first fruits of our increase. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would bless these offerings and multiply them to give us all that we need to win the lost, disciple the found, to mend the broken, and send the whole. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would let the people who are faithful in their giving sense your pleasure in them and tie together the reward that comes in opportunities and blessings so that they can be more grateful and more thankful. We love you today, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, we want you to turn around and just take a peek at all of these gifts under the angel tree. Can you bless the Lord for that this morning? Guys, it's my privilege to welcome to the stage Miss Amy Bilsland and Miss Tess Harper. Would you bless them as they come this morning? We have purposed every 6 or so weeks to bring to the stage someone we've used from the young to the old, from female to male, to those that are on the peripheral of their stories. And I felt the Lord touch my heart about asking Tess to join us a couple months ago. And she said, okay, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. And there was a little bit of nervousness there. But then about 2 weeks after that, she found me. She said, I'm ready to do this. I've got something to share and something to tell. So would y'all welcome her this morning?
So this is an exciting day for us, and if you have been a part of our women's ministry as well, I feel really tall.
Yay.
I'm like, really? This is like a great
thing. We got you a taller seat. We only had two of the small, anyway.
This is so great.
Enjoy it.
But yes, tall today. We have been able to really watch God's transformation in Tess's life. And so as she shares today, we just want you to share where things were at, what has happened throughout, the way that the enemy took a stronghold, and what God did through that.
Yes. Is this thing on?
Should be.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Start at where you are today, and then we'll go back.
Ooh, okay. Well, I am joyful, walking in freedom. I'm a member here at this wonderful Christ Chapel family, involved in different ministries here. And honestly, this sounds so cliche, but just the happiest and most content and joy-filled that I've ever been in 36 years.
Wow, what a statement.
I will also preface this with, I am very nervous. As ready as I am, I'm very nervous. I ironically majored in broadcast journalism. But as you'll find out, I got very sick for a few years, and it kind of stole my confidence along with a few other things. So just please have grace for me today if I stumble a little bit. But I will start at the beginning.
Okay.
And that is when I was a child, my parents got divorced when I was 2, and my grandmother, my granny, as I called her, raised me and had custody of me, and that was a massive blessing because she was just the best person I knew. And she did not attend church, but she raised me with the knowledge of Jesus. And also, every other weekend, I would attend church, and I grew up in Warner Robins. I would attend church with my father's parents at what would be considered like a mega church. It was deeply like Southern Baptist, which, not knocking that, but just kind of giving some context, it was very like fire and brimstone. But by the grace of God, I was born again and baptized when I was 9 years old. I was out preaching on the playground. It was very cute. And that really carried me. That foundation carried me for a long time, most of my childhood and formative teenage years. I was president of prayer club and fellowship of Christian athletes. And my walk with the Lord was genuine, but it was also like very superficial. I would say the turning point was when I was in my like 18, 19, 20 years of age. And I went to Mercer. Again, love Mercer, would not change anything about attending there. I went there for broadcast journalism, and while I was there, I decided after taking an intro Christianity class that I wanted to double major in world religion. And I feel like looking back, that was kind of the turning point, because those classes and the way that they were taught challenged everything that I'd ever grown up knowing about Christianity. It just started making me think about like universalism and different thoughts of like pantheism. I don't know. It was just a whole bunch of different teachings there.
Can I say that for those that go and their kids go off to school,
yes,
they're more prepared in their argument.
Yes.
And their knowledge base, they're 6, 7, 8 layers deep. And a person 18 years old with genuine faith, mm-hmm, might be able to quote one or two scriptures and be born again and know the Lord. Mm-hmm. But they have created argument to confuse and confound. And that brings about a lot of question in the tier.
Yes. Also, the same time all that's happening, I start dating seriously. I had never had a sip of alcohol in my life, because one of the things I left out about my family history on both sides, but particularly on my mother's side, is there is a history of alcoholism and a lot of like mental illness, bipolar disorder, manic depressive episodes, just different things. And so I was always really fearful about alcohol and just never wanted to touch it. But that changed when I was 21, because I started dating someone that drank heavily. And so I started partying a lot when I was 21. And that same year, my mother, who had battled alcoholism her entire life, passed away. And that became like the catalytic event for me drinking all the time. And I was hiding it. And I graduated from Mercer. I entered into a relationship that lasted 10 years.
So, Tess, I'm going to stop you for, yes, just a minute, because one of the things you said is that you were hiding it.
Yes.
What do you mean by when you were hiding it? So you were casually drinking, or how did you hide that?
I would say at that point it was just casual, but what I mean hiding is that from the jump of graduating from Mercer, I got very involved in the grassroots movement of downtown development in Macon, and so I had a very public persona. And that was like the good girl and like very hardworking, very much like the face of a lot of stuff that was happening in the city. I don't think anybody really knew the extent to which I was partying and drinking. But I wasn't like getting up in the morning and drinking or anything like that. And so I entered into a relationship that lasted 10 years. And I just mentioned that because he also drank a lot and my mother passed away. And then within, I think it was 6 months, his mother passed away. And so we trauma bonded over our grief. And it was also a long distance relationship. And he also, when we first met, professed to be a Christian and go to church, but that never happened, like while we were dating. We didn't talk a lot about God. And when he did talk about God, it was much more in a universalist context and like just what the universe was bringing him and all that kind of stuff, manifesting different things. trying to think. Kind of the next thing would be my grandmother, my granny, had a really bad fall. So at this point, I'm like 22, 23. I decided to move off to Atlanta and take what I thought was a dream job. And after 3 months, I had to move back because she fell. And I became her sole caregiver. And that almost single-handedly destroyed our relationship. Because it was way too much responsibility for someone my age. And it was just, it took all of my freedoms. And I was still partying at night, like taking care of her. I would have like ER visits, doctor's appointments, helping pay for some of her medical care. And then I would just like go out at night and try to numb it. By the time I was in my late 20s, I wanted to find a way to start healing. And I never in any of this point like renounced the Lord. I just knew I wasn't walking closely with him. But I wanted to find a way back to him, but I didn't want to go back to the church that I had grown up in. I didn't want to go back to what I saw in the media with like what was happening with mainstream churches. And so I was like, what does this path look like for me? How can I carve this out? And so I started seeking out mentorships, and I found one in Atlanta. And he owned a metaphysical shop, a very popular metaphysical shop, which I don't know if I need to explain what that is.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. it's just very rooted in the New Age. And for me, that means like it's an amalgamation of healing modalities, different religions mixed together, and different wisdoms from those. And like the occult, which has its own form of power.
So in your mind, though, being an academic, you weren't rejecting or renouncing the Lord. It was almost a, well, that's there, but I need relief.
Yes.
I was looking for something outside of caregiving, my history, and partying, and this was something I could learn, experience, and it was a newness, a new thing.
Yes. And he was also like highly academic and just presented things in a way that was so appealing. And he mixed different genres that were appealing to me in the sense of like Jewish mysticism and Kabbalah and Gnostic gospel text and just all different sorts of like healing practices. And so that went on very, what I would say, normal in the sense of like, I would just go and meet with him once a week, and we would sit in his office and talk very much like a therapy appointment, and there was nothing really happening other than these conversations. And then what it turned into was him introducing different things like crystals and tarot cards and Kundalini yoga, which is just a whole separate form of yoga, although I think yoga as an umbrella is not good, but we can talk about that later.
So the deception that you were being introduced to, you really had no idea what depth that was taking in your life, what route that was taking.
No, not at all. And it sounds so weird to even sit here and say any of these things because it makes me sound easily led astray, which I was, and that's a hard thing to admit. But it makes me sound very, like, naive. But I was really just vulnerable from years of trauma.
Mm-hmm. What about to the person, you know, because the media has trained us. We don't want to be that dogmatic Christian. We don't want to be that dogmatic Christian. So much so that we're not a dogmatic Christian. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really wrong with crystals. I know that's not real, but for them, can you just touch on the danger? Because the connectivity, and it's more than just picking up a card.
Right.
It's connecting to a totally unseen realm, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, that's it. Uh-huh. Is through these different tools, they can seem harmless. And I think, and I hope you don't disagree, I think to an extent, like, some of these things can be harmless. Like, crystals were created by the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. What's happened is that things that are natural and good have been hijacked. And in that context that I was in, it was being used in a dark sense. And so every time that I was picking up a card or using a crystal because I believed that it had some sort of hidden power, Like there were witches who had like done things to those crystals and then like sold them to me sort of thing. But I didn't know that they were witches. These are all things that I found out later. So, yes, to answer your question, I think it's just that like, it's not this innocent practice. It's literally linking you to the occult and to darker forces.
There's a world of difference between a little boy finding a piece of crystal in a creek bed.
Yes.
And someone going into a shop that is committed to the spirit of this age. And when I say spirit of this age, understand that a lot of the new age is just old religions from thousands of years ago, repackaged and repurposed. Anything that's a dilution or a distortion of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a false gospel. And there's power that's connected to it. There, you know, that's one of the hooks for younger people. When in Christianity, the power of God flows through us, but we don't run the faucet. Mm-hmm. But in metaphysical dynamics, there's power given and allowed under the control of the person through demonic forces to deceive and persuade. Did you ever see any of those type manifestations or?
Yes. And I mean, the man that I was working with, like he was powerful in his own sense. He could like read minds and he would like call beings in. Like if we were having a session, like he would say that they're angels, but they weren't. And so through those like less than 6 months that I'm speaking with him, I felt like in the beginning I was receiving healing, because I felt like I was in control of my life.
And there was power there.
Yes. And there was such a focus on self. There was such a focus on like control. And like, even when I look back, I didn't realize this at the time, but like controlling and manipulating others, so that you always held that power and that you had control over your emotions and your circumstances and how other people treated you and perceived you. It was very deceiving.
So what did you do with the little small voice of the right. little girl that knew Jesus? It was just, I'm not opposing you, but it's just there or what?
So the whole time this is happening, I literally think that like I'm good with the Lord and that I'm just deepening my spirituality and like have this higher consciousness, like higher self, and like I'm good. But the Holy Spirit, praise God, is just like, you know, just in my ear, in my mind, just telling me this is not the right path. So towards the end of working with this guy, I just start telling him my, like, reservations. And I remember sitting in his office one day, and he just flat out told me, well, he started out, like, kind and receptive, and he's, like, trying to answer my questions as best as he could. And side note, he was a pastor's kid. So he had a lot of good arguments. He flat out said, like, Tess, I've never met a Christian who is capable of true healing. And I just remember being stopped in my tracks, and I was like, I got to get out of here. And so I left that day, and I went home, and I sobbed all the way home from Atlanta. I sobbed when I got home, and I was just like, Lord, I don't know what this means because I don't want to go back to what I grew up in, but I can't keep going down this path. Like, this is wrong. And I didn't know at the time how to engage in spiritual warfare and, like, start renouncing things, but I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. And that was about the extent of it. Because a month later, during that month, I'm like, kind of praying, kind of just like talking to people, like how, what's the next step look like? But then the next step was decided for me because a month later, overnight, I got physically sick, debilitatingly sick.
How far after the departure from him and that did you get sick?
A month, okay. Like a month to the day. Mm-hmm. So I was living in a loft in downtown Macon. And my first physical symptom was shortness of breath. So I went to the doctor thinking it was like anaphylaxis or like asthma or something. And they sent me to the ER. And very, very long story short, I went to see like 15 different specialists in the span of a month. My other symptoms besides shortness of breath was my white blood count and platelets were completely bottomed out. I started within a matter of weeks to develop bruises all up and down my body. I lost weight so rapidly. I was like a 99-pound shell of myself. I couldn't walk up and down the stairs in my apartment. Like, just everything hurt. There's bone pain, like a myriad of symptoms. I had 2 bone marrow biopsies at Emory because they were certain that I had cancer, and everything came back inconclusive. So cut to 3 years of me living like this, and my journalism research brain is like constantly trying to find like the root cause of what is wrong with me, and I cannot find any answers. And by the grace of God, I stumbled upon a blog of a girl who was dealing with mold toxicity. And everything about her story resonated with me. And so I ordered some tests, tested my loft, and it came back as bad as it could be, just like, get out, get out. And to clarify, I had tested the loft when everything first started, but I used a company that like the apartment paid for. There's just a whole lot there that I could talk about a different time. There was no visible signs of water damage in my loft, and so I just had never thought about any of this. I started researching mold, and the strain of mold that came back was the worst possible kind, and it said not to take anything with you. I don't know why I'm getting upset, but...
So this, when you say you couldn't take anything, so that's pictures of Granny, that is pictures of your mama, that is everything that was very, very special to you. That also meant the crystals, that also meant mm-hmm. the demonic things that you had brought into your home as
right.
well.
Right. So I packed everything up in just a storage unit and used all my savings and completely started over. This is spring of 2021. Thank you. And something about that, like, broke something else in me, and I knew I couldn't take anything with me in the sense of my old life, and so I ended the 10-year relationship that I had been in. And again, I think that's something I could talk about for a while, but I don't know how necessary it is. But there was just a lot of psychological abuse in that relationship, and I just knew it was time for it to end. So I moved out of my loft, moved into a different apartment, ended that relationship. And then 6 months later in 2021, my granny passed away very unexpectedly. So I started drinking again. And this time it was not casual. It was every day.
Yeah. This wasn't to party. This was to your whole, it was almost like, there's this porcelain picture of your life, and as negative as this sounds, it's like God took a ball-peen hammer to shatter it, to reconstruct. So this drinking was for pain relief.
Right.
Self-medication.
Yes. It started out as self-medication and numbing, and it went on for a year. And at some point along the line, it became this thought of, like, maybe my life will end. I was too scared to end it any other way, but I was still really sick from the mold, so I just thought this might be the easiest way to just, like, damage what health I have left. I prayed occasionally, but I just felt so hopeless. A lot of friends had left me because of the mold situation, and there was so much that they didn't understand. Like, I can't really blame them because it's very convoluted. So I just felt very alone. So that went on for a year, and in December of 2022, it was Christmas Day, and I was drinking, and I just sat on the floor, and I cried out to the Lord audibly, and I said, "Lord," and these were my exact words, like, "whatever it takes, restore me to you. Restore me to you."
Glory.
And so I just cried on the floor, and I finally started to feel peace that I hadn't felt in a long time. And the next morning I woke up, went to the store. It was very much like a movie scene. I, like, went and got a new Bible, like, read it every day, went on prayer walks, and I'm like, "Oh, this is good. I'm good." And everything was really good. So now we're in, like, January, February of 2023. And I really feel hope for the first time in years and years and years. And I'm starting to reconnect with friends that I had lost and family members who, like, these relationships had been really strained. And it just feels like everything's moving in the right direction. And then cut to March of 2023. I was asleep. And I woke up in the middle of the night and sat straight up in bed in a cold sweat. And I was under attack mentally. I could hear voices, and it was my voice, but it was not my thoughts. And it was just the worst things you could think, just on loop of just like, because you're not good enough, God hates you, you're going to hell, you're too far gone. Probably 8 to 10 more thoughts that just like cycled and cycled. And again, because of how I'd grown up, I didn't really know anything about spiritual warfare, but I knew enough to know that I was under attack. This is the part that I think will be hard for some people to believe, but A, I couldn't really think of anyone to call because I didn't have a church home, and I didn't feel like there was anybody in my family or friends, and this is not a knock on them, it's just I truly didn't know who would be capable of like helping me in this moment. But when I tried to pick up the phone to call somebody, like a noise would come out, and it was just super oppressive, and that went on for days, and I couldn't like keep food down, and I just didn't eat for like 4 days, and then finally that stopped. And
let me interject just one thing here, because I know some of the details that they're about to hear, and it's quite overwhelming. But don't let it be lost on you that even if the efforts are childlike, I'm starting over. I'm going to buy a Bible. I'm going to talk to God. The devil doesn't just sit back. With some, it's gentle dilution. With some, it's distraction. And then other, he comes with a tsunami. He's not limited to one form of attack to destroy the person. And with her, you know, it's obvious that he saw this fragile person and said, she can't handle a tsunami. So you made the turn, and even though they're baby steps, here comes this 100-foot wave, and with no background, right. Nobody, and the importance of a church family. And now if this were to happen, you've got...
I'm good.
You've got 15, 20 people to call.
Right. Yeah.
But so, go ahead.
I also think about Tess, because one of the things that I had said to Tess was, but we're right here. We're right here in your backyard, but there was not any relationship. And how many of us work with someone who doesn't know the Lord, and that we just assume that they're okay, but yet they are truly suffering on the inside, and yet maybe they are hiding things, or maybe they are a Christian, yet they have not completely fully released everything to him. So what would you, some of those open doors, could you see that you still had any open doors mentally or spiritually?
So at that point, I didn't even know the term open door. Like I was saying, the torment was happening all the time for 4 days. Finally, when I was able to like form words and call somebody, this is a brag on Christ Chapel because there's two people I called and they both went here, which didn't even register in my mind at the time. The first one was Tammy Bartlebaugh. She had gone here for a long time into Christ Chapel Warner Robins as well. She's my best friend's mother, and she's just the best person I know. And I said, Miss Tammy, will you please come pray with me? I don't know what's wrong. I just know I'm under attack. And she came over and prayed, and she goes, we need to get you to Pastor John Wood. The second person I called, which is really funny, was Brian Nichols. It's funny because we don't really know each other. We didn't really know each other. We just had served on several boards in downtown Macon, but I knew he was a really good Christian, and I just wanted somebody like that praying for me. Mm-hmm. And so I called him, and he was in Hawaii, and he was like, I really think you should talk to my wife. And so they came back, and within a week, I came and talked to Lauren Thomas. She was the first person I talked to. And then I talked to Pastor John, and I talked to Leanne Nichols, and they all verified that I was under attack. And then I started being mentored by Miss Sandra. And for a year and a half, it was me learning what spiritual warfare is, what open doors are.
Let me explain one thing, too, because I know Tess's personality. In the same way she doesn't care about being up front and speaking, she's understated. And it's not that everyone has to match up, but when she says under attack, you're talking about from what I witnessed and seen and the things she told me, supernatural opposition, spiritual opposition with principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness. In the same way we can see God heal a person, you literally felt the rage of hell.
Yeah.
And we're talking about days, relentless, like someone's in the room, abject fear.
Yes.
Controlling, all of those things.
Yes. So the intrusive thoughts, they're all spiritually rooted. And there was that, you know, window I told you about in the beginning where it was relentless. But then it went on for a year and a half. So if you've known me at Christ Chapel, you pretty much knew me, like, walking through this season of just, like, trying to be normal, trying to function every day, but, like, intrusive thoughts constantly happening and tormenting me. And, like, it wasn't all day every day, but it was every single day for 18 months. And there was a season where it was very dark, like Pastor John's talking about, and I would be in his office, and I couldn't get a sound thought. And I would just be, like, sobbing and praying, and we would just plead the blood of Jesus. And there were several deliverance sessions. There were several discernment prayer sessions. But things would start to ease up within the span of a year and a half, in the sense that I would just dive in headfirst to learning about how to put on the full armor of God, how to take my thoughts captive, how to engage in spiritual warfare in the sense of closing open doors. Miss Sandra introduced me to Derek Prince and a few other authors who are really well versed in this, and that was really life-changing for me, and I think it is essential for every Christian to be equipped with this knowledge. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, finally, the open doors for me was everything I had been involved in with the New Age and having to renounce that and get rid of anything that was lingering, which it wasn't physically in my house, but just any belief or lie that I believed about God, having to unpartner with those, having to pray very relentlessly about bitterness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, and the Lord just like slowly breaking off, like, well, not slowly, he broke off the alcoholism, praise God. He broke off anxiety, he broke off depression, he broke off loneliness. And so it's just slowly but surely like closing each of those doors.
Let me address too, for the person that's identifying so much with here, let me talk to you just a quick second about process. The Bible speaks of demonic activity, and when a spirit leaves a person, then that they can clean up the inside and the house is swept and emptied out. But unless it's filled,
yes,
then even seven other spirits can come back worse, first typifying what's happened in Israel and then also in the individual life of the believer. And for you, when, I don't know, those of you that know her, when she first started coming, just a frail shell of a person. And the people that she mentioned, all we did was pointed her to him. Fill your house with him. Dwell in him. Him dwell in you. Feed on him. Talk to him. And we witnessed the turnaround through the indwelling Christ. And
yes,
that's, God will allow us to help people point to him, but he doesn't need our help in rescuing them and changing them, because that Christ in her, the hope of glory. And I remember several times we met and it was life support. And then other times she would come and I would start to say something and she'd finish my sentence and I'd go, oh, because she'd been reading. And I read this morning and let me tell you about the Lord. And it was, see, that's what the devil's afraid of. He's afraid of the believer that has a knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
And a connection to.
And I left that part out, that like when I started coming here and getting counseled by Pastor John, all of the attacks started in March of 2023. And by April 2023, I came here and I had my little mask on. And I knew how taboo that was, but my platelets were still really low. And I just remember sobbing like through my mask, because Pastor John, the very first sermon that I heard was All Grace Abounds. And it just hit home for me, and it was what I needed, because I had all these lies going on in my mind, and I just needed that truth that I wasn't too far gone, and that the Lord had me in his hand, and he was like a good and loving father, and I wasn't in trouble. And he was going to, like, see me through this. And from the very beginning, and I had people talking this truth over me, like, I knew there was another side to this, like, the other side of this. He wasn't going to leave me here. And so, cut to fall of this year, October of this year, I signed up to go on a weekend women's retreat, and I kind of went kicking and screaming because it was, like, so out of my comfort zone, but I had so many people, like, rallying around me, and I didn't have an expectation other than just to, like, make new friends and deepen my walk with the Lord, but the Lord met me there, and I don't think there was anything mystical about the weekend or the activities that we did, but there was just a particular night where there was an exercise done, and we, like, nailed things to a cross and left them there. And ever since that Saturday night in October, I have not had a single intrusive thought.
Again, I know she, you know, is not looking to be dramatic, but let me tell you the weight of that statement. Is it okay to share just a couple of things from
yes.
our time in the office?
Please do.
We would be in my office. Sometimes it'd be me, Amy, and her, and other times it was her and I. And she would have her hands over her ears and her face between her legs, moaning, guttural sounds like her trying to fight these voices. And they were crass, crude things about Jesus. And there was a fight there and an unwillingness for him to let her go. And this is not a brag of the person. Just hear your pastor. All of us are precious to the Lord, but there are people that are captains over 50, captains over 100. There's people with influence. And with her involvement in the community and her articulate persona, God can use that dynamic. And the devil is after influence. That's what. So for her to say, those intrusive thoughts are no more, and we clap, they don't understand how that was a hourly, minutely, day in, day out fighting. Mm-hmm. And then your victor,
yes.
Christ the King, came in.
Yes.
And said, this is it.
Yes. Yes.
Tess, talk just a little bit about the praise and the gratitude
yes.
that has come, and how there is continual release and focus because of what had been and what you had struggled with throughout that time, but then praise and our focus and the anxiety and yet praise, and because it can't be in two places, right?
Right.
You can't have the anxiety and praise and worship at the same time. It's not possible. And I have dealt with anxiety for a long time, and somebody had said, you know, that it can't be in the same place. So it is
yeah.
a constant. So tell us about that piece of it, the praise and the gratitude.
So one of the miracles in all of this is that through the last year and a half, like going through that daily mental torment and having to learn more about spiritual warfare, like it made me read the Bible all the way through twice. And I call it like eating the word, but it made me like memorize scripture as weapons. And one of the very first verses that the Lord kept pressing on my heart was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and that is, rejoice always, pray without ceasing with a heart of thanksgiving. And so I was just from the jump, like I knew he wanted me to learn to be grateful and to stay in constant communion with him, because that is the cure for anxiety. When you are going throughout your day, and no matter if it's what I'm talking about, like a very heavy time in your life, or if it's just the little things like getting to you, when you continually bring them to the Lord and just ask for his help, like that is what he wants. That is it. Literally the rest of that verse is, this is the will of God for you. So to your point, like that rejoicing always, praying without ceasing with a heart of thanksgiving, like that was my personal like cure for the anxiety. And it doesn't mean that those thoughts, like that attack, always went away. Like it wasn't a permanent cure, but it was on a day-to-day basis. Like that is how I got, and how they sang earlier, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Like there were so many times I would just stay on my knees, like saying Nehemiah 8:10, like the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Let me ask you a question now. Some of us will identify with this. Others won't get the point of this. Was there a part of you that the scrappy part, like the fight back, like when you volunteered to greet, do they understand the irony of that?
I think some do.
Okay, we haven't talked about any of this. You and I haven't talked about, just share with us, like, that's the opposite of what you would.
Right. Well, so Tess for like many years was very extroverted, very, I like to say, hammy. I liked being around people, but then when I got sick, it made me incredibly introverted and reclusive, and then especially everything after that, and then going through this spiritual attack just made me very closed off. And when I started coming here, I sat in the very back row. I still sit back there to this day because I love Miss Susan Durrett.
Everyone loves Miss Susan.
Yes. But about 6 months into this attack and going here, the Lord just kept prompting me to be a greeter, and I was like, Lord, that is the opposite of where I'm at right now, but I want to be obedient. And so I signed up to be a greeter, and it has been, I mean, this sounds like a bit much, but like it's been life-changing for me because I've gotten to meet so many of you and just like form a personal connection with you. And it has helped like bring me out of my shell and getting back to that old version of me, a better version of me, a more content and joyful version of me.
Share a little bit about women's as well, because when you came in, she always would sit in the same spot in the back. Don't touch anyone. Don't talk to anyone. Don't look at anyone. Yeah. To where it was this past semester.
So my very first Wednesday night, the first person that I met was Beth Guest, and she was a leader, and she immediately invited me to her group, and it was just truly the Lord orchestrating it, because her group was all of the older women in this church, the precious older women, and that was just my genre, being raised by Granny. And so they just like literally took me in, and they knew something was wrong, and I wasn't giving away any details because it was such a hard thing to share at that time, but they would just pray over me, and they would just be so tender with me and just minister to me. And so that was a year and a half ago, and now I am leading the classes, classes on Wednesday night.
Come on. That's wonderful.
So, Tess, what would you tell your younger self?
I would say that you were more loved than you could ever imagine, and that you don't have to carry it all by yourself. And I would just want to say that to anybody in here who's in a season of suffering, that you don't have to carry it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. And with the metaphysical and stuff, just don't touch that.
Yes, and it's so interesting because I see it. Like, now that I know what all of that is, I see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I even see it in the church. And I think that is like the enemy's biggest play right now, is like he loves to take the truth, but yep, like turn it into a lie.
Let me tell you what New Age looks like in the church. You can just go to any, in the church itself. The progressive, all truth runs into the same river. We're all talking to God with a different name. New Age has more of a supernatural dynamic, but it's the same thing. Anything that dilutes and or pollutes the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the false gospel. And that's what the New Age does and did. So we're going to sum this up.
Yeah.
All right.
So what would you, just to tell your people today, all your friends out there, what the Lord has done for you?
He restored me. He heard my cry that Christmas, and he restored me. No matter what it took, he restored me to himself. God is patient. He is loving. He is tender. All he wants is for you to come home and to take care of you. He will discipline the one that he loves because he wants the best for us. He wants us to die to self. He wants us to walk with Jesus daily, to know Jesus more. And like, that is the medicine for my soul. That has been the only cure of anything I've ever sought out. Yeah.
Tess, you've heard me say this often. to our church. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But a moment ago, when I said the words that Christ, your victor, I saw a mental picture of him planting a flag right beside you, and like, to get to her, you got to come through me. Like a, he's your king.
Yes.
And we're not scared of that man in his shop. We're not scared of a principality that appears in the bedroom at night. See, this victory does not exempt us from battle. It means that we're not coming to the battle empty-handed. Yes. That you have the name of Jesus and his spirit. And I want to thank you for sharing today.
Thank you so much.
Yep. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
What a beautiful story. I hope you see in the continuation of these stories and the connectivity, I should say, that we want to present that there's no life too far gone. There's no pain so deep. There's no trauma that's so bad that Christ is not greater than. Have you learned it? Have you learned that there's no pit so deep that God's not deeper still? That God's grace, God, where sin abounds and failure abounds and weakness abounds, God's grace does much more abound. Do you enjoy these? I Am Christ Chapel, do you enjoy these? Amen. Well, we have one other song and kind of a ministry by countenance today that we want to share with you, and then we're going to pray together.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne, Abba, Father, the well that overflows, the God who was and is and shall be forevermore.
as we hold our signs and our hearts up to the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith, King Jesus, the Savior of not only the world but our individual lives, our restorer. You're our balm of Gilead, O Lord. You're our glory and the lifter of our head. You're our shepherd. You're our way. You're our truth. You're our life. You're our purpose. You're our joy. You're our expectation. And you, O Lord, are our destination. All praise, all glory be unto you, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Pray, O Lord, with every testimony given, with every sign held, and with every hand lifted in this house, you know that we're grateful and we're not confused where our help comes from. It comes from you, O Lord. May we not be embarrassed to share our story. May we not be embarrassed, O Lord, to share the gospel, because there's that Tess out there, that Mike Benson, that Sandra Armstrong, there's others that are out there that all they need to do is hear that Christ saves. That Christ saves. Church family, would you look this way? What do you think the Lord thinks and feels when he looks down on a service like this? I mean, we're just average people with our own stories, you know? And when they flip the card over, and I love that one. Do yours again for me, buddy. You did it so quick. Look here. From foster care to what? Is that not our story? See, you can have a baby by accident, but you can't adopt a baby by accident. And you were accepted, adopted into the family of God. And we go no more. We go no more out. Amen. I don't know if I've ever done this in 30 years. I want us just to stand here in his presence. Can we do that? You should feel his pleasure. You should feel like a hand around you, like this one's mine. Today, this is that part I was talking about where when I asked Tess about greeting, there's a part of me that every chance I get, I like to slap the enemy with the number he did on us. I wonder where he went today. I'll tell you what he did. He put his tail between his legs and he ran out of here because of the victory that is ours through Christ Jesus. Amen. Have a wonderful Lord's Day. God bless you.